It's summertime, 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 summertime. And books and throw away, say goodbye to dull school days. Look alive and change your ways, it's summertime. Well, no more studying.
Good morning, this is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. Hope you're having a good day so far and a good week so far. It's summertime, y'all, and guess who's here on the garden line this morning? Every Tuesday morning right around this time, our friend Mike Wiggins.
This is when I wish we had television in here to watch Meg do our little dancing to the summertime, summertime, summertime,
I don't know why. That song, it just makes me happy.
Oh, I like the song,
old
too.
Old as the hills, right?
But if somebody had asked you
right
before the show, who sang that song?
No clue.
What would you say?
No clue.
Me either.
I had no clue.
Okay, I know you looked it up. So
I did. I played this last week, and I looked it up, and I think it says radio hits of the 50s, so this is probably before my time. I know.
Yeah, that sounds more
60s. I know. That's what it says, but from radio hits of the 50s, the Jamies, J-A-M-I-E-S.
One hit wonders.
I guess so, but it was a big hit, no doubt.
It sure fits Pensacola this week.
Yes, yes, lots going on.
It is summertime, and it's just such a big week for you.
I know.
Blue Angels and all of that going on. Yeah. Tell us just a touch of that.
Goodness.
Give us a schedule.
Well, we're going to have the whole gang in here this morning at about 10 o'clock. The Pensacola Beach Chamber is going to come in and talk about the market and prim and proper and all the things they're doing for the big show. And then Santa Rosa Island Authority, I've got Robbie and AJ coming in this morning at 10:30, and they're going to be giving us the absolute schedule, all the details. But it's all happening this week. They get started really today. There's a lot going on. But Wednesday, we have Breakfast with the Blues. Blues do a kind of practice. It's where they're setting the buoys and that kind of thing, and they it's at 7:30 in the morning on Pensacola Beach. Typically not a big crowd out there, which is nice. So if you're a local, this is the day for the locals. The locals come out, and several of the restaurants are actually having breakfast, but you can come out and just see them early in the morning. They do about a two-hour practice. And then on Thursday, they do another dress rehearsal at 2. That's at 2 o'clock. And then on Friday, they do a dress rehearsal again. On Friday, you'll have the dress rehearsal for the civilian acts as well. So my understanding is that those are starting at 10:30, and then the Blues are at 2 again, and then Saturday will be the same schedule, 10:30 and 2. And I understand I'll get more of the details, so I don't want to steer anybody wrong, but I believe the civilian acts is going to be a little bit longer show than it has been in the past.
That's cool.
So I'll have all the exact details that later on this morning.
These podiums come from all over.
Yeah.
They do.
It's incredible.
It is incredible. We used to go to the beach and stay in a motel.
That's what you need. That's the best
and
way to
I
do it.
I enjoyed Breakfast with the Blues. That's it's the first time you see them.
Yep.
You know, they bring in the spot. I call it a spotter boat.
Right, right. They have, they're kind of set. It's like a dress, theater, it's a tech dress rehearsal. They're getting all the tech stuff done.
Anyway, that's always fun.
Yeah.
The whole week is special.
Yeah.
And so, as we do here on the garden line, if you're gardening or if you're going to the Blues, you have to do some of the same stuff.
Yes, we do, actually.
You better dress for it.
Mm-hmm.
A hat, sunscreen, hydrate.
Lots of water.
Lots of water. Be so careful. But it is so much fun.
Absolutely.
I hope everybody can get out and enjoy it.
Well, one other thing that I want to mention real quick that's also going to be a lot of fun is coming up on Sunday after the Blues at the Wharf Amphitheater. The Coral Reef Band is playing, and they're a tribute band to Jimmy Buffett. But what's kind of fun about it is our friend Terrence Gross, who does a show here on Pep Talk, tomorrow at 10:30 is giving away 3 sets of VIP tickets to the concert.
No, really?
So you got to listen in tomorrow at 10:30, and we'll thank Terry. He's going to come in, and we're going to find a way to give those away. So either Blue Angels or Jimmy Buffett, it's not going to be a bad week.
Golly.
There's a lot going on.
Sounds great. Sounds exhausting.
Yes, it is exhausting. So I had to wear my blue. I have a few Blue Angels outfits for my tenure
out
there on the beach.
You look great today.
So
you look great in your Blue Angel shirt.
Honor my friends that are coming in. So, but it's busy. You know, they start planning this thing the minute the show ends. They debrief, and they're on to next year.
Right.
So much goes. There's so many details. I had no idea until I worked at the Chamber and was able to work with Santa Rosa Island Authority. They do an amazing job of coordinating this and making it happen. It's really, really such a gift. But it's just an amazing event, special here at Pensacola Beach.
One quick question before we get on to gardening here.
Mm-hmm.
Is Fat Albert back? Didn't he, didn't Didn't Fat Albert have to?
It took a little break.
Took a little break.
I'm hoping so, but I could. That'll be a good question to ask the gang in the next hour when they come out.
That always started.
I'm not sure.
Started it off with Fat Albert coming over.
I got to ride in Fat Albert one time.
Did you really?
Yes.
Oh man,
it was fun.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and I should have. You know, had the choice at the time to do the F-18 or the Fat Albert,
you took the slow one.
Now I wish I hadn't.
Exactly.
But I'm kind of a scaredy cat when it comes to heights, so.
The Fat Albert had one of the first, correct me if I'm wrong, I may be totally wrong here, one of the first female Blue Angels.
Oh.
If I remember right.
Oh, that's probably correct.
The pilot of Blue Angels.
Well, it was a
Fat Albert, I should say.
It was a couple of years ago. They do a lovely luncheon over at Crab's on Fridays for that rehearsal, and it's for the wives of the Blue Angels, and it's been called the Wives of Blue Angels Lunch forever.
That makes sense.
But then a couple of years ago, we actually had a female pilot. Yeah. So we had to change it to the spouses.
There
and I felt for him because he was the only guy
I bet he didn't object.
And all the women were there.
He didn't object too much, I'm sure.
No, he was pretty happy.
Exactly. So. Anyway, good luck with all of that. I hope everybody is safe.
Well, I'd be remiss in not mentioning that you can listen to the entire event here on News Radio 92.3 starting at, it'll be at 11 o'clock. We'll be covering from the Civil Acts and the air show. The narration will be broadcasting live from the beach. Andrew McKay will be out there. Chris will be out there. So we'll be doing a live broadcast on Saturday, and we'll be covering it on Friday as well on this station.
Yeah. My good friend John Fogg did that for a long time.
He was
one.
Mayor Fogg.
Yeah, he did a great job doing that. Hadn't heard from him in a while. I hope he's doing okay.
Okay.
He's a good guy.
Now we're going to get back to the garden line.
Talking dirt and plants and what have you.
Somebody texted in, one of our research department folks. Michael says, no, Fat Albert is not currently flying for the Blue Angels. The iconic C-130J Super Hercules is missing the entire 2026 air show season while undergoing a massive 10 to 14-month center wing box replacement and repaint in Cambridge, England.
Really?
Thank you, Michael. That's interesting.
Very interesting.
Yes, okay.
I wonder why Cambridge, England. Why would it be there, I wonder?
Okay.
I guess they're good at that type of thing.
Somebody else texted in, the official cargo plane does not have a paint job that they use for Fat Albert right now. Interesting. Okay.
Interesting.
All right. So now we got a text from getting us back on subject.
A gardening text?
Yes, a gardening text.
Really?
Yes. So this person says, okay now, so let's talk grass. Great transition.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so
much.
We appreciate you. If you've got a question for this is the garden line. He is the expert of all experts on the expert panel, 850-437-1620. Okay, so let's talk grass, specifically Bermuda grass. Is it good? Is it bad? What if most of your lawn is Bermuda grass? I do thorough... wiped control, and it seems to be very rich and lush, and it repairs itself very quickly. Weed control. I'm sorry. I do thorough weed control. That's
right,
the thing.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So Bermuda grass.
A little Bermuda grass. Not many people use Bermuda grass. Bermuda grass is really used a lot in the golf course.
Well, that's what I remember you saying. Yeah.
Right, in the golf course industry, Bermuda grass is one that really takes a lot of maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from correcting the pH with lime, everything from frequent fertilization, and probably the most important thing about Bermuda, if you're really going to do it right, you need to use a reel-type mower versus a rotary mower, because you mow it very low, but it's you need that reel-type mower. That's what the pros do with Bermuda grass. The good news about Bermuda grass is it's easy to install. You just use Bermuda seed, fresh Bermuda grass seed, and you'll find that there's all kind of varieties of Bermuda grass, some better than others, especially if you're going to make it a residential lawn. But be prepared to really, really work at keeping that Bermuda grass looking good.
So it's a high maintenance grass.
I have a good friend over in the Cordova Park area that I'm going to say 20 years ago put in a Bermuda lawn. And to this day, it looks really good.
Really
good. But I just know he is totally dedicated to his lawn, which a lot of people are dedicated to their lawn, but maybe not quite that much.
Okay.
But Bermuda grass, that's very interesting. But one last thing. Bermuda grass, when you do put it out, it will germinate relatively fast.
Oh.
Much faster, in my opinion, than, say, centipede seed. Bermuda seed will germinate a little quicker.
Okay, great. This is The Garden Line. We'll try to stay up on topic this morning, so we need your help. Text in a gardening question at 850-437-1620. We'll be right back on Pep Talk. Good morning. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk. Pensacola's expert panel, Mike Wiggins, is here with us talking about gardening. But we had talked a little bit earlier about the Blue Angels. This is a big week for us. Pete called in, wanted to talk to you, Mike. He says, good morning, Pete. You said you had a little something to tell us about Fat Albert.
Good morning, Pete.
How are you doing, Mike?
Doing pretty good, thanks.
In a while. A few years back, through the Marine Corps League and a Simplify 5K run, I helped the CEO at the base, the Marine Detachment, raise a lot of money for the 5K run. And as a reward, he gave me a ride in Fat Albert.
Ooh, there you go.
How was it?
That's a great reward.
It was during the Blue Angel Air Show at the Air Base.
Oh, that's so cool. November. At the homecoming show in November.
Yes.
Yeah, homecoming. And I didn't know it, but my ride was in the cockpit.
Whoa, I was in the hold.
Wow.
I was in the back.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that?
I was in the cockpit, and when they take off, of course, they're running down the runway at, you know, just a few feet off the runway, and then all of a sudden they rotate up,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you throw your back, and and then when they get 1,200 feet, they rotate over straight and level, and when they do that, you're in weightlessness.
Oh,
okay?
Wow.
And the crew,
I didn't know that.
The crew chief and an engineer did a backflip in the cockpit.
What?
During the weightlessness.
This is in Fat Albert. Wow. Who knew?
Pete, did you do the backflip too?
No, I'm kidding.
You and me both. You and me both, brother.
Well, Pete, thank you for sharing that with us. That's such a cool story.
That is a cool story. It really is.
Yeah.
All right, sir. Well, we got some texts coming in that want to talk about gardening. We probably could talk about the Blue Angels all day with you, but I sure do appreciate you calling in to Pep Talk.
Love your show.
All right. Thank
Thanks,
you, sir.
Pete.
You have
we
a great
appreciate
day.
It.
Thank you. Okay, we're back to gardening now, 850-437-1620. We have a text that came in that's asking a question. Let's see. This is a good one. Is there any natural way to get rid of weeds? So, I guess instead of using something like Roundup or one of the chemicals.
The only thing I would say to that is, of course, what a weed is. A weed is a plant that is in the wrong place. Because it's really, I would say, good cultural management of your lawn. That's proper water, proper insect control, proper mowing, everything right. If you do that many times, it'll get lush, and it'll choke out the weeds. And obviously, that's a natural way to do it. It's hard to find natural ways that work. Now, I would imagine a lot of our listeners may have some what you might even call home remedies to put on weeds that would probably help. I think of vinegar one time.
You've mentioned that before.
Yeah, exactly. That's one thing. But the effectiveness of that is probably very small. So it's very difficult, in my opinion, naturally to control your weeds other than doing everything right in your lawn. Plus, keep in mind that weeds are going to come in when your lawn is under stress,
mm-hmm.
if your lawn is in too much shade, because keep in mind, those trees grow, and as they grow, they give your lawn more shade, and so some areas of your lawn may gradually, over the years, go downhill, because any bare spot in a lawn is an invitation for the weeds.
Right.
It really is. So, yes, I really don't have any recommendations for a purely organic way to control weeds other than doing everything right in your lawn.
Well, and then getting on your knees with your knee pads and pulling them. That's a natural way.
That is a natural way. What is that?
I don't think that's what he was looking for.
I don't think so either. But let me tell you what. I mean, we've got so many people listening to us who are so good at gardening.
True.
And I bet you they may have some thoughts.
Please text in your ideas.
Text us in today what you use organically or in a natural way to control weeds.
That's a great question. 850-437-1620. We're going to be back in just a couple minutes with Mike Wiggins, so still plenty of time for your questions on the Garden Line. This is Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and it's time for the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. We do this every Tuesday, and we had a question a few minutes ago about a natural way to get rid of weeds in your lawn, and you heard from the research department, I understand?
Well, I woke them up.
Are they being lazy this summer?
They're resting for the Blue Angels show. Okay, but here we go. Good for them. They came up with this formula, including the vinegar that we talked about. So here we go. Here's your recipe. Mix 1 gallon of white vinegar, 1 cup of salt, 1 teaspoon of dish soap in a spray bottle. Spray this mixture directly on unwanted vegetation. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
On a hot, sunny day.
Really?
Because, you know, our philosophy on weed killers are put them on the shelf,
mm-hmm.
you know, during this time when it's so hot. So
Well, that's interesting.
It says you get fast, visible wilting. Well, thank you guys over
that's
there.
That's great, yeah.
Take the rest of the day off.
And it was a gallon of vinegar? That's a lot of vinegar.
Yeah, that is a lot of vinegar. I would think you could.
So a gallon of vinegar.
Gallon of vinegar, a cup of salt, teaspoon of dish soap, and a little hand spritzer bottle.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, we'll take notes on that.
The research department didn't say so, but I would think I would be very careful about getting this on my good grass.
Right.
I have a feeling, for example, St. Augustine would react the same way as the weeds would. So if you've got to isolate it, you know, and it's like using Roundup, what some people do, if they have some weeds in a flower bed and they want to use Roundup, well, probably the same for this. They get a piece of cardboard and they just put it in front of the plant that they want to save,
smart.
And spray in front of the cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
That way you don't get it on desirable plants, because I would think this particular product in many cases is what we label non-selective.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's going to damage
whatever
it gets on.
Touches on.
Exactly. So, interesting. Golly, this research department, you know, we don't call on them very much.
But when we do, come through.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
All right, and y'all are all officially part of that research department, by the way.
That's exactly right.
If you have any thoughts or ideas, we always welcome them, and you can text them in at 850-437-1620. Mike is going to be here for another half hour with us, so any thoughts that you have, if you're worried about the weather, the heat, gardening, your lawn, flowers, potted plants.
Bring it on.
Everything's up for grabs on the Garden Line. So
we'll give it a shot.
All right, 850-437-1620. This is the Garden Line. We hope to hear from you. We're going to take a quick break here to find out what's happening in the world with the news, and then we'll be back shortly right after the break. This is Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
It's summertime, 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 summertime. Well, shut them books and throw them away. Say goodbye to dull school days. Look alive and change your ways. It's summertime. Well, no more studying.
I don't know. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg and the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. I was just getting ready to say, I don't know, that almost sounds like the Chipmunks.
Maybe that's
why the Chipmunks.
Maybe the Jamies.
Or the Chipmunks.
Are the Chipmunks.
Could be. I mean, you know, I'd have to look this up. We'll have to get a research department on this one. But it is a great
I just got a note.
Uh-oh.
They got one answer right, so they left. They're gone.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, so they're not around anymore.
Well, this is the Garden Line. We like to talk about gardening, and especially summertime. There's every season, there's something different to talk about, and Mike surely is our expert. He does such a great job. He pretty much, since I've been here, has been able to answer just about every single question that's come in to the text
we
line.
We actually got a couple of them right.
Yes, I think you got most of them right, sir.
I hope so.
I mean, I really want him to write a book, but you know, we're working on that.
I don't know if anybody would read that.
Well, I said we've got a few listeners that just might do that.
There are a few.
Okay, do we have a text that just came
okay.
in? Unless
What's
you got
up?
Something you want to talk
oh,
about.
Oh, no, we can talk okay. about this later.
Okay, my wife just planted 2 loofah plants. They're growing like gangbusters up over the trellis. Any specific do's or don'ts to help her enjoy this little hobby?
Well, that's fun. That's fun to see.
I'm not familiar
that.
With loofah plants. Yeah. What do those look like?
I wonder. I think it's kind of related to a sponge.
Well, I was going to say loofahs, yeah. Or is she just hanging loofahs on the
Exactly. No. But this is one of those questions that you say, well, what are you doing now?
Mm-hmm.
And whatever that is, keep doing it.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going great.
It sounds
great.
Like it's really going great. I would consider a midsummer, very light, granular fertilizer.
Mm.
I think that's important. Of course, since they are doing so do well with it, their watering is right. Obviously, that's the most important thing right now. You could always prune it off at the top. If you didn't want it to get way over that trellis, you could always cut it back a little bit. But it sounds like he has great success.
Yeah.
And that's great. What fun. You know, a lot of these plants that are not really common, that a lot of people grow kind of as a hobby, to kind of see what they do. That's one reason I say you can go to any garden center you want and buy transplants of, mm-hmm. you know, your basic, your marigolds, your vinca, and all that stuff. But go to the seed rack and look at the seed. Just kind of thumb through the seed rack, and you'll find things that you will not find as transplants
right.
in these garden centers that you may just want to say, hey, I think I'll take these home and give them a try.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well,
you know who's done well with some of these things? It's Catherine.
I know. She's a good one.
She is a good one. I'll tell you, she has grown some special stuff.
Well, that listener just texted back again, and he said that it's actually in the loofah is in the cucumber family.
Okay.
Interesting.
That is interesting, which vines out just probably just goes.
Sure.
It's crazy. So that's fun.
Yeah.
That's great.
All right. We're waiting for your text this morning at 850-437-1620. I live in an apartment complex area, you know, kind of. And I see all these people have their patios.
Right.
And one of my neighbors, I saw a lot of potted pots up there.
Yeah.
Well, the other day, when I pulled in, I went, oh, my gosh. Whatever they're growing has just blossomed. And it looks like big tomato plants.
Really?
In a pot.
Oh, good. Why not?
I mean, but I'm so used to seeing it in a garden, bed or something.
Oh, yeah.
But they're probably 4 feet tall.
Oh, exactly.
I mean, they're huge. And I know I can recognize that they were tomato plants. Like, good grief, when did that happen?
Yeah. You know,
just sprouted up.
Some people will take some of the cherry tomatoes, you know, the small tomatoes.
Oh, it could be those.
You know, and put them in a large hanging basket.
Oh,
and
really?
Just cascade down. And then you
just
kind of pick them and eat them.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the easiest tomato plants to grow. And it's fun.
Huh.
That's one of those plants that it's fun to get a grandchild out and plant them and let them watch it grow.
Oh, yeah.
And be able just to eat right off the vine.
That's pretty cool.
It really is cool.
That's pretty cool.
No doubt about it.
Well, I always think of you as I'm driving around town, and I've noticed, interestingly enough, for whatever reason, all the crepe myrtle trees are really blooming right now.
This is the time.
And for some reason, I thought it was in the spring, but it's more in the summer?
Oh, that's one reason that they're so popular is that it's one of the few plants that will bloom all summer long.
Gosh, they're beautiful.
Oh, they really are pretty. Crepe myrtles, of course, will bloom anywhere. You don't have to prune them because they're going to bloom on new growth. But if you prune them right, and we've talked about that a lot here on the Garden Line, that they'll bloom even better.
Yeah, it's really beautiful.
Proper pruning, absolutely.
Okay, we got a question in on the text line, 850-437-1620. Our listener says, I follow your guidelines for my St. Augustine. However, it seems to be yellowing just a little bit. Could it be from the amount of rain and watering, and is there anything I can do now to bring it up a little?
Well, we've talked about that. That's really an important question. St. Augustine and even Zoysia, like a summer kick, if you will,
mm-hmm.
of nitrogen.
Oh.
So if you have a granular fertilizer, even the same one you use in the spring, or even one that has a little more nitrogen. Now, you can tell the amount of nitrogen it's got of that first number. What we've used in the spring on St. Augustine was a 16% nitrogen, 16.08. That's the first number is nitrogen. You could even use a little more nitrogen, but be careful. Follow the instructions. I think I told you the story of my friend out in Villa Sabine, mm-hmm. who has St. Augustine grass that's beautiful, and he uses ammonium nitrate on it. We talked about that last
week.
In any event, that's not a 16% nitrogen. That's a 33% Ooh. Nitrogen with zero slow release. Too much. And he puts it out no more than 3 pounds per 1,000 square feet. So, point is, a little good slow release granular fertilizer and one that contains iron. You may be suffering from a lack of iron. It's called chlorosis. And the iron in that granular fertilizer will help solve that and help green it up. So I would do that right now. The only qualifier I would give you is that if you put it out, and let's say you have a 16.08 slow-release granular fertilizer, and you put it on your St. Augustine. Put it out, water it that day, the next day, and the next day for at least 30 minutes, 45 minutes for sure. Let it get down where it can really do some good.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's an important thing. A lot of people don't do it because it's so hot. You know, you don't want to get out there and fertilize the lawn, but it really will make a difference. And I think this St. Augustine is kind of showing that. Now, let me say one other thing about the question. I'm going to take a whole different tack here.
Okay.
I think that's what it needs. But you also have to be very careful if you're getting yellowish brown spots. Don't forget the two bad actors that we deal with this time of year, chinch bugs
Ooh.
And sod webworms. That's your favorite, Meg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you like those.
Mm-mm.
And,
no, thanks.
Anyway, you have to be very careful that be careful that it is a nutrient problem and not an insect problem. So,
does it matter, Mike, when you put the nitrogen on the grass, in the morning, in the evening, during the day? Does it matter?
I just say just for our own comfort. I think in the morning is probably mm-hmm. the best time to do it. And then, like I say, just water, and get it down where it can do some good.
Because mm-hmm.
if you don't, and it doesn't rain, and you don't water it, it can do more harm than good. It really can. But that's what we do for St. Augustine grass. Now, as we've always talked about, if you have centipede, it's totally different ball game. They really don't, or centipede really does not want any of that summer kick, if you will. Now, you can put something mild on it like ironite,
mm-hmm.
which is a granular iron, which will solve a chlorosis problem if your centipede is getting a little peaked and just looking kind of weird. Okay, so you use that or mill organite, which is a great organic fertilizer. So you could use that on centipede. But for the most part, if you don't get to it, with centipede, it's not that big a deal.
Okay.
But St. Augustine, I think it really will help.
All right, great questions that we're getting this morning. If you've got a question for Mike on the Garden Line, 850-437-1620. We'll be back right after the break. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel on the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. If you've got a question about gardening or anything that has to do with lawn care, the weather, our expert is in the house at 850-437-1620. So we did have a listener asking a question. We're not real clear about what the question is exactly, but one more question. My Vitex blooms were about half the size this year than normal, and they seem to be smaller. Can I trim that tree or leaves when I trim the crepe myrtles in February and March?
Well, I think you probably could. I wouldn't prune it too heavily. I really wouldn't. I wouldn't prune it much more than, say, maybe 15-20%. I think that's all you need to do. I would be concerned, obviously, about water. A lot of these plants, Vitex, are usually pretty easy. There's some really beautiful ones around town, beautiful purple blooms.
Mm-hmm.
It really is a beautiful plant, but I still think that many of our plants are still suffering from the drought. You know, we had that prolonged drought, and I really believe that may have set things back. I would not, quite frankly, worry too much about it because these plants are very, very hardy. I think a little pruning would be fine, shape it up, but I think you're going to be fine. And, of course, in the spring, a little fertilization is important, and a little winterizer fertilizer. If you're going to fertilize your lawn with winterizer fertilizer, which has a lot of potash in it, which helps the roots become healthy in the lawn, would also be good for your Vitex. Put a little of that around it come, October, November.
Okay.
Exactly. I think you're going to be fine.
Okay. We got another.
The prettiest Vitex in town was over by the New World Landing.
Oh, really?
Between New World Landing and the port. And it was breathtaking. Breathtaking.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
It's still there, I assume. I don't know.
Okay. We'll have to go down there
and check
it out.
They tore the building down.
Well, maybe the Vitex is still there.
Oh, the Vitex is still there.
This is the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Turk. What in the world? I need more coffee. Pep Talk. And we are talking about gardening this morning. Got some great texts coming in, 850-437-1620. This is our friend David texting in. He says, I had an I had my overgrown mess with pampas grass and blackberry vines, so I dug very deep and dug it all up. Cleaned out the pampas grass and transplanted it along with some Mexican petunias. It took about 2 weeks, but it turned out great. And he says, love the show. And he sent a beautiful picture of this replanted area in his garden. And then he says, if you cut the spent blooms off the crepe myrtle branch close to the bloom, it will bloom again.
He is absolutely right. And most of us, including yours truly, don't really do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it will bloom again.
No kidding.
Oh, absolutely. That's a great comment because, you know, we plant crepe myrtles for the summer color, like we talked about earlier. You know, mm-hmm. It blooms all summer when, you know, the dogwoods aren't blooming, the Japanese magnolias are finished. Everything's finished, but those crepe myrtles will just bloom and bloom and bloom. And then you kind of snip it right behind that bloom, and it will bloom again.
Wow.
Absolutely.
I've never heard that before, so thanks, David. Yeah,
That's a great comment. It really is, because it really does work.
And the picture's beautiful, by the way.
Yeah, I'm going to sneak over there and take a look.
Okay, now here's another question from one of our listeners. If you've got one, 850-437-1620. What are the names of the native grasses for our area?
Well, let me tell you one of my favorites, and that's muley grass. Now, muley grass will send up the purple plumes, just absolutely gorgeous. And then, of course, in the winter, most people will cut them back, but they'll come back. But if you want to see some really pretty muley grass, drive down Summit Boulevard on the east side, next to the airport property.
Okay.
And as you get into the fall, not yet, when you get into the fall, it'll stop traffic. That is one of my favorites.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, yeah, it really is nice. Now, I still like the old-fashioned pampas grass.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a lot of people have moved away from that and moved into things like muley grass. But it still is hardy. It'll send up, you know, in the fall. It's just gorgeous with those big white plumes. So those are a couple of good ones. They really are. But there are some other native grasses out there. But those are my favorites.
Okay, great question. 850-437-1620. If you have a question or comment, still some time to send that in to Mike this morning. We've got a photo I'll have to show you at the break of an oak tree that looks like it's having some issues. So I'll have you take a look at the break, we'll get to that question next after the break. But we still have a couple minutes here. What else are we going to be talking about in this summer heat that we can do to preserve everything, keep everything alive? It's so hot.
Yeah, you know what I want to do, Meg, and we need to start a show off with this. I want to get into some landscape design and part of our program and kind of hear from our listeners as to what they're doing because, in my opinion, the landscaping around your house is so important. I think it raises your property value, quite frankly. If you're selling your house or renting a house or whatever you're doing and you have attractive landscaping that's designed correctly, it'll make people want to come look at your house, as opposed to if you just have, you know, unkempt, you know, shrubs that need pruning and all that, they're just going to keep on going. But if you have good landscaping, it really will draw attention to your house. Plus, there are some hints of things that we can plant that will make your house visually look bigger. In other words, with some of these curved beds that curve around the left and right side of your it really will make your house look bigger. And there are a few hints that I've always heard, this could be a little old wives' tale here, that some of the plants, for example, yellow marigolds.
Uh-huh.
Let's use that one.
Okay.
Yellow marigolds. You plant those in the front of your house, it brings your house visually towards the street, which makes it more attractive.
Interesting.
And of course, you got to have that green lawn. That's important.
Okay. We were listening to Mike Wiggins and the Garden Line with expert advice on Pep Talk. We'll be back right after the break. Good morning. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk. We've got a follow-up question here this morning. This listener, I just want you to know you are a listener after my heart. The question is, how long after the original crepe myrtle bloom do you take to cut the bloom off? Is it how long after the original bloom do you cut the bloom off so a new one will come out? So the reason this is
in all these years I've never seen Meg kind of tear up. You know, with a question. She said, that's a question right out of my heart.
Oh, my gosh, because you say all these...
That's a logical question.
Well, you're so smart. You say all these things, and I know most of the people listening are really good gardeners. I am not. And so when someone says, yeah, just cut the blooms off, and I'm thinking, okay.
So you were ready to go out and...
Just cut it off.
These beautiful blooms on the crepe myrtle.
Exactly.
Let's cut them.
And then a tree dies, and I go, well, what happened? And I said to Mike, it's like my sister was a great cook, and she had this spaghetti sauce, and she would never tell me what the ingredients were, and I'd say, well, what's it? I don't know. I just sprinkle in a little cinnamon, a little, well, how much? A half a cup? You know, details. So this person wants details.
Okay.
So this listener,
well,
I am with you.
Well,
when do you cut the bloom
Meg,
off?
Okay, Meg, I know you're very emotional about this. So my answer is kind of...
He thinks this is hilarious. I'm just so grateful.
Well, if you have a crepe myrtle bloom, obviously you've enjoyed it. It's a beautiful bloom. It's mid to late summer.
Okay.
And the bloom itself will become spent.
Do you mean?
Oh, the blossoms will...
Wilt a little bit.
Okay. It just won't be very attractive anymore. You'll say, well, that bloom is finished.
Okay.
It's all finished blooming. I've enjoyed it. There it goes. Cut right behind it, right then, and you'll have more blooms.
Do you do the whole tree? Do you just do a branch of the tree?
Yeah, wherever you want to. Wherever the blooms are that are spent, cut right behind it, and you'll have new blooms. If it's a tall tree, you can't do them all, but get the ones that you can.
See, the devil's in the details.
Exactly.
Those details are helpful.
Yeah, don't cry on me little anymore. Thanks for the question. That's a great question. It is.
We have to get to our oak tree next week, but we promise we will. Thank you also for sending in all these questions and for putting up with me. And Mike's our expert, and he always does a beautiful job. Thank you so much, Mr. Wiggins.
Oh, it's fun to be here.
All right. This is Pep Talk. We'll be back.